This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor with Devin Nunes, the CEO, the guru of Truth Social, where he practices the First Amendment. And we're discussing freedom of dissent, about the financial storm that has hit California all of a sudden, or the old joke, how did you lose all your money? Well, slowly and then suddenly. That looks to be the story of the Silicon Valley Bank. It is not especially a California bank. I'm told that it started many decades ago in Boston, where it was an early tech investor in Boston technology, and which grew towards California. Now it's headquartered in California, but it has branches around the world, London, Tokyo, China, mainland China, all around the world. And it is a bank that is dominated by startups and the venture capital funds that promote the startups by early round investing. It's not a complicated story. When you have a better idea, you can get a credit line. And Silicon Valley Bank is a place where credit lines are extended, except on Friday, just past, the federal government and the California regulators took possession of the Silicon Valley Bank. It is now closed. I read from the Wall Street Journal's report so far. Bank regulators were racing over the weekend to sort out Friday's stunningly hasty collapse of Silicon Valley Bank. And these bank regulators are facing high stakes as they try to shield the banking system from wider fallout. That's right. The word contagion that was much used in the 2008 Great Recession is now back. Nick Timoreas at the Wall Street Journal goes on to explain. A plan that soothes nerves about access to uninsured deposits. Most of the bank's deposits are sizable enough that they don't carry Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation protection. Could tamp down the crisis and could limit any impact on the economy as the Federal Reserve focuses on combating inflation by raising interest rates. That's a packed paragraph. What it means is the Federal Reserve is right now charged with defeating the sticky inflation that we're living with, the high prices of everything. That means monetary policy. The Federal Reserve is committed, as of Jerome Powell's speech remarks recently before both the houses of Congress, that he will stay the course and raise interest rates until inflation is again a 2% target. The next meeting is in March. That is one direction. The other direction is this crisis of banking, where the higher the interest rates, the more difficult it is for banks to keep their doors open or to satisfy their customers. Devin, I don't want to get into financial chicanery. I don't know at this point where we're going, but there is clearly a panic, not just in California, but among the richest people in California and the most promising startups and big tech in California, which you've taught me over the years. That's the source of the riches of California. That pays your budget. That pays all of the people who work and live there. That's the dreams of California. It is now shaky, to be diplomatic, very shaky. What is your thinking now about your neighborhood? Let's start where you are and then talk about the money centers, the very well-to-do in Los Angeles and San Francisco. How does this affect the Valley?
Well, John, this is really the storm that no one's paying attention to. All the news is focused on the rain and the snow, which, of course, is, like we talked about, one of these once every decade or two decade storms and weather events. But this is a storm that has been brewing for a long time. And I can tell you this. I remember going back when I was first elected to Congress and touring Silicon Valley. And this would have been in the early 2000s. And I remember going to this Silicon Valley Bank, and it was a new bank. And this was the time when it was the beginning of all this talk of solar panels and windmills, and we're no longer going to need gas or coal, and it's all going to be wonderful. And this is going to be, it's going to be tech that's going to take us there. And I toured this bank, and it was like the early version of wokeness. And I left there thinking to myself, like, wow, this is not what I'm used to, where, you know, I'm used to the San Joaquin Valley agriculture, the, you know, breadbasket of the solar system, as we like to call it, where, you know, the number one agricultural area in the world, everybody's out working, driving trucks, moving equipment, logistics, shipping products all over the world, doing things and making things that make the world go round. And in fact, a lot of the early technology that was successful for the Silicon Valley was used in a practical sense for testing in the San Joaquin Valley. For example, GPS systems were tried in the San Joaquin Valley back in the 1980s on tractors and equipment to help to improve. Not only did it help to improve agriculture, but ultimately that technology was used in the first Gulf War that was developed here in the San Joaquin Valley. Some of it obviously started as a concept or idea in the Silicon Valley area, but then actually put into practical use in the San Joaquin Valley. So I take you back to that time when I was in the early 2000s at the Silicon Valley Bank, because I walked out of there. I remember asking questions like, well, you know, how practical is it that we're going to, you know, how much is our electricity going to have to go up if we're going to use, you know, solar panels? I don't see, you know, we're going to put solar panels on, you know, hundreds of thousands, if not a million acres of land. I mean, this, you know, and the answer was, oh, yeah, but, you know, it's going to work. And, you know, we got all the tech, we got all the smartest people. And I just walked out of there that day, and I still to this day have always believed that Silicon Valley, along with your friends on Wall Street in New York, you know, this is all a bit of a Ponzi scheme. And of course, it manifested itself in 2008 when you had all this, you know, money floating around with in the housing boom. It was basically free money. Well, for many, many years, Silicon Valley has been getting away with this monopoly money style growth, where none of it makes a lot of sense, right? And probably the best example that gets back to my world of true social, and that is look at Twitter, a company that, you know, I think Elon Musk would probably admit that he made a mistake. He paid way too much for it. He tried to get out of it. He paid $44 billion for something that there's no possible way it was worth $44 billion. And I think you're starting to see, you know, you had 8,000 people working at Twitter. Now it's down to 2,000 and it may have to go lower. But, you know, it's a company that had, you know, a lot of bots. Those are, you know, Elon Musk's own descriptions. It was probably mostly bots. And, you know, we don't know the actual percentage, but I remember when Twitter came out and said, oh, you know, yeah, we have 5 to 10% bots. And I think I told you at the time, John, I think they're lucky if it's going to be a lot closer that they have 5 to 10% real users of their total users than if it's only 5 or 10% bots. And I still think that's true today. I think that a lot of these, and Twitter's just a good example, and we only know that to give Elon Musk credit. Granted, it cost him $44 billion, but we did learn a lot from that. And we did learn to see that, you know, this big, well-known tech company, social media company, was a bit of a Ponzi scheme. That, you know, the reality is that it had never made money. It's been around since, I think, 2006 or 7 or 8, somewhere in there. Never made money. To its credit, does have a great brand name and it is the global PR wire on the internet for Hollywood types and political hacks and people who cover journalists and fake news and everything else. But is that really worth $44 billion, you know, worldwide? I think the answer is no, it's not. What is it worth? You know, John, I don't know, probably somewhere closer to $4 billion than $44 billion. And that is just a microcosm of my guess is what the Silicon Valley Bank has been funding. I mean, you have the examples, and it's been all over the news, so I won't get into it, but all the focus on wokeness and green energy and LGBTQ+, and, you know, they didn't even have anybody looking over all of these their loan portfolio, I read, for the last year. These are all, you know, signs that, you know, they went from, hey, you know, this was super easy, you know, put it on the stock market, stock price goes up, it's all kind of phony money. And the only place I would have to correct you, John, is this. You mentioned that this is California's main budget. Actually, it's not. Actually, what it is it's what's allowed Newsom and the left as their piggy bank for what's the old term that was famous, irrational exuberance. So what happens is, as stock prices go up, you have all these tech guys, they make money, they all have to sell their stock, and California gets this windfall every once in a while As the stock market goes up, they will get these windfalls of $20, $30 billion, which would sometimes be, could be anywhere from 10 to 30% of the state's budget. And of course, the left just kept milking it, milking it, milking it. And of course, the Democrats control everything here. It's a Marxist party. Now the Republicans basically don't exist. They have no levers of control. They don't control anything other than maybe a few counties where the boards of supervisors are still Republican. But outside of that, the budgets and all of this come from the left. But what really makes this state go, John, is the energy sector, the ports, the agriculture, the weather, i.e. the tourism that comes into this state. And all of those industries have been under attack, essentially led by these woke freaks out of Silicon Valley and San Francisco and Hollywood that have simply, those businesses, and even as those businesses have slowly bled and left California, you see very few startups in California today. And a lot of these big companies have moved. I mean, I think we're down to like one oil company that's still headquartered in California. And I think it's on its way out too, Chevron, when it used to be that the majority of the oil companies were located in California and Texas. But they've been driven out by this sick disease of a combination of wokeism and Marxism. And so the staple industries are still here. They can't get rid of the weather, so we still get tourism. They try to dump our water out to the ocean, but we still are a juggernaut for farming. We have these major ports here, so we can export and import products all over the globe. And so that's what's driven the state of California. And it's been this Silicon Valley monopoly money that has allowed the Marxists to just go on these spending binges. But really have also been, the state of California has been really using funny money, because you've got the state employees that really are the tool of the left. They've tried to drive more and more people, especially the healthcare sector, education. They drive them into the state employee pool. They promise them, huge retirements. A lot of times it's very good pay. You're not going to be wealthy, but you're almost guaranteed to be. If you have a couple people that are school teachers in the household, you're going to be upper middle class, and you're going to have a nice retirement, supposedly. And I say supposedly because the unfunded liabilities that many of us over the years tried to shine light on, but quickly were shut down because nobody wants to hear that, hey, I know you're promised this retirement in 10 years or 20 years or 30 years, but there's unfunded liabilities, John, now, I'm guessing, with this downturn in the stock market. It used to be around $200-300 billion. My guess is it's a lot closer to $1 trillion than it is to $300 billion. Now, I'm using approximate numbers, but the budget of California is somewhere around now. It's growing up to nearly $200 billion a year. We went from right before the election, Newsom was telling us, oh, yeah, look, I'm a great steward of the money. We've got a $30, $40 billion budget surplus. And I'm going, where the hell is this money coming from? And, of course, it was all a lie. Election gets over. All the bean counters say, oh, no, actually, we have a $20 or $30 billion budget deficit. And John, that means we probably have a $50 to $60 billion. And that depends on whether or not this could be the start, the unraveling of a lot of this wokeness and monopoly money in the tech sector and other kind of phony businesses that have really just been buyed by kind of phony tech, phony news, fake news, wokeness. This could be the unraveling of it. I don't know. We're gonna see. And I know you have another bank that you brought to my attention this morning that I wasn't even familiar with, but your description of it is quite interesting.
First Republic Bank, concentrated in L.A. and San Francisco. Devin tells me the zip codes are the highest end zip codes in California. They also have a branch in Palm Beach. They have a branch in Manhattan. Describing really well-to-do tech investors. This is the Friends of History Debating Society with Devin Nunes of Truth Social. I'm John Batchelor.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, There are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.